already.
Okay. Such liberated souls are disinterested in the affairs of this material world because they are self-satisfied by the great achievements of devotional service. So it's kind of interesting because the Sukadeva Goswami was an impersonalist, but he heard Srimad Bhagavatam before he came out of the womb. And then he became satisfied, and maybe with different accomplishments in devotional service. Disinterested in the affairs of the material world because you're self-satisfied by the great achievements of devotional service. So for maybe for us, that means we can stop smoking. And so we think, my goodness, chanting Hare Krishna is so wonderful. So we're satisfied just with stopping to smoke. As explained before, Sukadeva Goswami never accepted any formal spiritual master, nor did he undergo any formal reformatory performances. I was just reading this actually in the everything is Rupa Dasyamrita. Yeah. First instructions for neophyte devotees. And so you think maybe just the beginning, but it covers everything. It goes from our position geographically all the way up to
I don't know why it just crashed again. Let's try it one more time.
Please leave your message for...
Oops, that's strange. Okay. Fortunately, I'm not getting a signal from Hanuman Prashik Swami at all. Well, Prabhus, my apologies. It doesn't look like it's going to happen today with Hanuman Prashik Swami. Just somehow or other. I doubt if it's a fault on his, and I think it's just something with Skype in general. Although we couldn't connect with Start Meeting either. So I would suggest this, since we're already assembled, if I could just go ahead, out of respect for the Bhagavatam, go ahead and read the remainder of Srila Prabhupada's purport, and then if there's any discussion at all after the end of the purport, we can do that. And who knows, maybe Hanuman Prashik Swami will come back. So I'm going to unmute everybody on Start Meeting, just in case, and that way anyone can speak if you like. But I'm just going to go ahead and finish the purport that Maharaj was not able to finish. The verse again was, at that moment, there appeared the powerful son of the Vyasadeva, who traveled all over the earth, disinterested and satisfied in himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or status of life. He was surrounded with women and children, and he dressed as if others had neglected him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Actually, I'm going to mute Guy just 1 second, please. If I can't, I'm going to say. Here we go. There we go. Okay. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Bhagavan is sometimes used in relation with some of the great devotees of the Lord, like Sukadeva Goswami. Such liberated souls are disinterested in the affairs of this material world because they are self-satisfied by the great achievements of devotional service. Just one moment, please. As explained before, Sukadeva Goswami never accepted any formal spiritual master, nor did he undergo any formal reformatory performances. Oops. his father, Vyasadeva, was his natural spiritual master because Shukadeva Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam from him. After this, he became completely satisfied. Thus, he was not dependent on any formal process. The formal processes are necessary for those who are expected to reach the stage of complete liberation. But Sri Shukadeva Goswami was already in that status by the grace of his father. As a young boy, he was expected to be properly dressed, but he went about naked and was uninterested in social customs. He was neglected by the general populace, and inquisitive boys and women surrounded him as if he were a madman. He thus appeared on the scene while traveling on the earth of his own accord. It appears that upon the inquiry of Maharaj Pariksit, the great sages were not unanimous in their decision as to what was to be done. For spiritual salvation, there were many prescriptions according to the different modes of different persons, but the ultimate aim of life is to attain the highest perfectional stage of devotional service to the Lord. As doctors differ, so also sages also differ in their different prescriptions. While such things were going on, the great and powerful son of the Vyasadeva appeared on the scene. And the translation once again. At that moment, there appeared the powerful son of the Vyasadeva, who traveled over the earth, disinterested and satisfied with himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or status of life. He was surrounded with women and children, and he dressed as if others had neglected him. So, Prabhu's, I'm sorry it didn't work out today with Anamud Prashek Swami. Would anyone like to make a comment on the verse and the purport? We have senior exalted devotees here in our Sangha, and we would like to hear from any of you if you have any realizations or comments about the subject matter here that is about us with the immediate appearance of Shukadeva Goswami in the assembly. I have to unmute Skype here. Okay. Would anyone like to make a comment?
Well, I'll say a thing or two and then sort of pass the mic like we've done in the past. One thing that jumps out at me in the very beginning of the translation that Prabhupada also discusses in the purport was the idea that he was disinterested in everything else within the world and satisfied within himself. It brings to mind a very powerful verse, very famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, I believe in the second chapter, where Krishna says, Prajahati dakaman sarvan partha manogatan. Atman yeva anatushta stitvargastadochate. This is Krishna's answer to Arjuna's question, how do we know someone who is actually absorbed in transcendence? Arjuna asks, you know, what are the symptoms? What does he do? How does he walk? What does he think? What are his activities? So Krishna answers that by describing prajahatiya.kaman. Prajahati means to give up. Prajahatiya.kaman means gives up all desires of sense gratification. Sarvan parthamanogatan, because he understands and realizes that there are manogatan, that the pleasures of this world, independent of our pleasures of Krishna, are manogatan. They are simply of mental concoction. And Atman yevat manatushta, that he finds tushta, real satisfaction within the self, sitta prakastadochate, because this is someone who's actually situated Siddhapragya means transcendentally situated. Siddhapragyasta docchate, this is one who is actually on the spiritual platform. So what we need to understand in this regard is that if someone is finding satisfaction within the self, part of the self is Krishna. In other words, the self has no identity or no meaning at all without this connection and this relationship with Krishna. Just like, for example, if we think about our body, it doesn't have any meaning without our arms and our legs and everything else that's connected. And as Krishna says in Gita, mamaivang sajiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, that we are eternally his parts and parcels, eternally connected with Krishna, and eternally in the self-realized state, eternally immersed in loving exchange with Krishna, complete dependence, complete absorption in Krishna. So in the highest sense, which is what's being spoken of here, when one truly realizes the self, it's understood that he realizes Krishna, because the self has no identity independent of Krishna. It's a false identity. It's an illusion, which everyone is under in the material world. It's the this ahankar, or this false ego, that I am independent, I am an individual, and basically I'm the center of everything. And in this world, we're not feeling that connection, that relationship, that realization of Krishna. So this is truly the symptom of someone who is on the highest level, is that he knows the self, and knowing the self means to know Krishna. Also kind of reminds me a little bit of the Avadhuta Jetabhart, who was completely avadhut. He had no interest in, or showed no symptoms of social custom, because he was so absorbed within his heart, within his love of Krishna. And it didn't matter what was around him. People were urinating on him, which is actually the case also with Sukadeva Goswami. When he was on his travels, when he had left home, people were throwing things at him and cursing him and calling him names and taking his food away and urinating on him and spitting at him. But he didn't care, because he was absorbed in the self. And again, absorbed in the self in that highest sense mean that he was absorbed in that loving relationship with Krishna. But as soon as the circumstance was arranged by Krishna, and he understood that it was Krishna's desire that now he not act on that platform of avadhut, but now he accept the role of spiritual master or teacher, understanding that as Krishna's desire, because he was absorbed in Krishna within his heart, then he immediately took that position. Just as Jetabhart, when it was somehow dictated to him from within the heart that now is the time to enlighten, who was that king? How is it in my mind? Rahugana. Yeah, when it was somehow Krishna was instructing him now to enlighten Rahugana, then he no longer acted on that platform of avadhut. And in the same way, Sukadeva Goswami, when he came, was somehow directed. I mean, he could have gone in any direction, but somehow by Krishna's arrangement, he came out of the womb at exactly at the right time. He went in exactly the right direction, and surrounded by women. And now he's naked, and of course, as we know, the women could somehow perceive within their hearts that he was so pure, they didn't even bother to cover themselves. They weren't at all disturbed by the fact that he was naked, because he obviously had no sexual desire at all. So surrounded by women and children, somehow directed by Krishna, but as soon as he came, to the assembly of all these great devotees at the bank of the Ganges, then through the science of physiognomy, they could all determine that this was the person to answer the questions that they were not able to determine together, Prabhupada was speaking at the end of the purport, the physician, that sometimes the physicians, they may have differences of opinion, therefore they may go to the specialist or the expert in that particular area. And they were able to determine that in spite of the fact that Sukadeva Goswami was naked and he was no social custom, surrounded by women and children, they could determine that this was the expert, and therefore they implored him to take the seat and enlighten the others. So I'll pass the mic, and as Ramananda said, there's many exalted souls here, much more than myself, so maybe someone else could say a few words.
Actually, I have a question, and whoever might be able to share some observations on this, and that is, it appears that Sukadeva Goswami was in the mood of a Navaduta, and my question is, how do we, as practicing Vaishnavas, how do we appreciate the role of an Avaduta? I mean, like, what benefit is there for our spiritual life, the conception of an Avaduta, really? I mean, like, I wouldn't want, from where I'm imagining things, I just can't see the benefit of an Avaduta. I mean, it's a rhetorical question, but still, it's something that I've wondered about in the past.
I could see a benefit in that just seeing to knowing that someone, just that example, not that we follow that example, because that's not our line. We're all part of Prabhupada's mission and Lord Chaitanya's mission. But just to see the example, it's to me, it's encouraging within the heart to see that someone can be so absorbed in their love and relationship with Krishna. And as Krishna says, prajahati adakaman sarvan partha manogatan, because one, we can just see someone as having such deep realization, completely unattached to the material world and satisfied within their heart. Only, of course, the very, very advanced devotee can recognize the avadut. Others will, as we see here, they were urinating and spitting. No one else could understand. But for the Vaishnava to see an avadut, even Lord Nityananda, who was Balaram, in many ways was described as an avadut. He did so many things that were unconventional because of that complete absorption and love of Krishna. So I think there's benefit there. There's a lot of benefit for us to read about them and hear about them. And not that we're following that example, but it is valuable to understand that one can be so absorbed in love of Krishna that he doesn't care a fig for anything within this world. Does that help at all?
Well, I understand, I understand the philosophy and the precept. It's just, I mean, if I saw Navaduta, I wouldn't know what I was seeing. I wouldn't think of them as being an example in my life to follow somehow. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand, but therefore we have Shastra. Now, it's interesting you say that. There's this, anybody who lives on the windward side of our island, in the town of Kailua, there's this homeless person that stands by the side of the road with long dreadlocks. And, I mean, he just looks like an avaduta. He's always there. He just stands in one spot. He's there all day. I'm not quite sure when or how he eats or what he eats. But he looks like exactly what the Shastras describe as avaduta. And when I drive by and see him, I'm always wondering, is it possible that this person is an avaduta and he's completely absorbed in love of Krishna? Well, you make a good point. I don't know. I have no idea. I assume that he's mentally ill, but it is conceivable. It's conceivable that he was an avaduta, but I don't know. And like you said, I'm not a pure devotee, and Krishna's not describing from within my heart who this person is. However, Shastra does tell us we're seeing through Shastra Chakshus, what we call our Prabhupada glasses. And therefore, the Shastra is pointing out different avadutas. And therefore, we know they're avaduta. And we have faith in the scripture. And therefore, it is valuable. There's definitely, I think there's value to see someone, Shastra's telling you this person is avaduta. It's valuable and encouraging to see someone completely detached materially, not caring for anything because of their absorption and their love of Krishna.
There is this wonderful little book, you ever read it, about Bhamsi Das Babaji? You ever seen that?
No,
I haven't.
Little
small book? He was a real avadut. He kind of looks like that fellow in Kailua with those dreadlocks. And Srila Bhakti.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, oh yeah, sure I do. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta instructed his own disciples. He said that you will not be able to understand this great soul's activities because they're just beyond recognition for the conditioned souls. But that's an avadut. That's why you need an acharya to set the example. You know, they're on the same platform, but one acts, you know, as in his own lila with Krishna, whereas the acharya shows the examples to others that they can actually follow. Yeah, wonderful little book about Bhamsi Das Babaji. Very, very exalted soul. You need guidance to understand him.
I have something to add here.
Please, go ahead.
I once saw a mime at the bayfront here in Hawaii, and he was a talented mime. He was painting himself in silver metallic paint, and then he would strike a pose like he was a statue. And, of course, there was a bowl or something in front of him, and you could drop some donation for him in the bowl. But anyway, this one Hawaiian started to mess with him. Something like the children were, you know, you can imagine, you know, the children. I don't know if there's a description of them spitting or something, but they're trying to get a rise out of him. They're trying to get some sort of response out of Sukadev Goswami. And they're, you know, they're probably doing funny faces and running around him and doing whatever they can do to try to cause some sort of a reaction, you know, that he'll recognize their attempt to, you know, to get his attention, and he's not paying attention at all. Anyway, this Hawaiian, he just kept it up, and he got a little obnoxious, actually. He might have touched him a couple of times or did something. Anyway, finally the mime just broke out of his stance, his pose, and he went after the Hawaiian. You know, he was ready to fight him. You know, he put his hands up, and he's ready to go around with the guy. And it was like heavy, you know, it was like so heavy that, you know, it was like one of those things where subtly, you know, the whole environment all of a sudden is just like, whew, you know, you can feel the vibes. And it occurs to me like this Trinada Pusaniche Na verse, it's not only expressing extreme humility that one thinks of himself as the lowest. You know, I mean, you can hardly defeat Krishnadas Kaviraj. He says, I'm lower than this worm in the stool. But, you know, lower than the grass, the straw in the street. But there's also the quality of tolerance and forbearance, and that's also expressed extremely like the tree. So there's an avadu in the late canto, maybe the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. And this avadut, he's learning from a spider. He's learning from a dog. He's learning, you know, from different animals, and he's learning from a prostitute, you know, and he's getting lessons everywhere he looks. Everywhere he looks, he's getting something. So, you know, that's one example of an avidut that we can learn from, you know, that we see the environment, we're actually feeling that trinada piece in each ana, and we're seeing Krishna is teaching us, you know, even when it's negative, when it's other negative people that are giving us trouble or whatever, we're learning something from that. So there's always disturbances in this world, and there's even a book, somebody wrote a book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and the subtitle is, and it's mostly all small stuff. And in the scheme of things, I remember Srila Shirmash had this really nice expression. He said, you know, that an event in this world, it's like a dot on a line, you know, and it's a blink in the eye of eternity. So things here, they appear to be big, significant, important, and we blow them up as such, you know, our problems. Everybody's got problems. And we get so overwhelmed that we go into some sort of depression to the point where we can't function properly. You know, we're just harassed mentally by so many things. And that's why people take intoxication, and that's why people watch sports or go to a movie. They try to escape from all this stuff. But when you see someone like Sukadev Goswami, you see somebody that's, it's none of it means anything to them, you know? And so in that way, we can understand that, you know, somebody has risen above all the small stuff. So, and so when you see somebody like that, suddenly you're aware, you become aware that all the things that I think are so important, maybe they're not so important. Anyway, that's what I get out of it.
That's really good. I'm sorry, go ahead, Prabhu.
No, I'm just saying that I think that's a very outstanding realization.
You know, the Atmarama verse, Narahari Prabhu.
Atmarama Shemunayo Nirgurantha.
Yeah, so that's 11 words. Right. And so, like Munaya, those who are thoughtful, those who are grave and silent, ascetics, tapasvis, those who keep vows, mendicants, sages. But this Nigrantha refers to one who is liberated from nescience, you know, darkness, one who is freed from the obligation of the rules and regulations, one who has. One who has no knowledge, an illiterate, unclean persons, low-born, unregulated, penniless. These are all translations by Mahaprabhu on this, on some of these words.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you know, I was just about, we went on with class without you, and it was
very good.
Nice. You know, we read the purport and we shared some realization. Vidagda Madhava Prabhu just shared some realization in Maharaj Prabhu. So we did continue. I was just about to tell all the devotees that we might need to really rethink the platform that we're on right now. I mean, I don't know. So far, we've been doing pretty good with it, but it seems like every time you came on, you had problems with it.
How long was I on before I disconnected?
Oh, my goodness. You barely got started.
I gave the entire class to the walls.
Are you kidding? You mean you didn't even know?
No, I didn't know I was disconnected. Everybody was muted like that. Anyway, it was a very good class. I presented all about our paper on Socrates. You know,
oh my
else.
Goodness.
Yeah, we have a whole paper on Socrates we've done now. It's so nice in the comparison to Socrates as well. Anyway, I don't know, because with WebEx we have classes all the time and there's never this problem, So maybe WebEx has a virus that it puts on my machine.
That's what it is, of course.
Jealous woman. WebEx is a jealous woman.
Mars, you need to get a Macintosh computer. Really.
Wow.
Or we all got to get on. Why aren't you on the Start Meeting? I thought you were the one that inspired us to get a Start Meeting.
Actually, Maharaj was the one that said we should really find something other than Skype. So we tried WebEx for some reason. We just couldn't integrate with it. And we just couldn't use it, just somehow or other.
Yeah. Really. But why are you any questions or comments?
Boy, we just had a whole discussion about avadutas.
I also mentioned that too. My conclusion was if he was walking around like this today, he'd end up in a mental hospital. Somebody called the police, and they would take him off, and very politely take him off to a assisted care living facility in America, at least.
I have a question. Even though in our Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, it's not really the method to be avaduta, but conceivably somebody might be drawn towards that, or even at the time of death, perhaps you'd be more like that, and possibly we have to be open to that happening and be able to recognize somebody's not just gone insane as far as materially insane.
Yeah, that's my experience. Actually, I mentioned that this last weekend we had heart arrhythmias for about a day and a half and really almost died at one point there. But I was just seeing it. You really think what's important, what do you want to hang on to like that? And so we see our acharyas, that they do hang on to something in this world or something like that. Like Madhavendra Puri, he had one verse, he was chanting, but he wasn't conscious, no? He wasn't conscious of his body so much or anything else. But he was, the devotee could be, I think a higher Majjhima Adhikari would figure out who's like an avaduta. That's my opinion. I've seen that higher Majjhima Adhikari can right away figure out, like, this guy's not a madman.
Well, I have a question. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada is making the statement that it appears that upon the inquiry of Maharaj Pariksit, the great sages were not unanimous in their decision. That's the
word.
And it's kind of like a twofold question. Are there other references in some other shastras that explain that? Because in this particular section, in the Srimad Bhagavatam here, prior to this statement by Srila Prabhupada, all the sages, they're coming from all over the universe. So they're very, very advanced. And the other question is, how is it possible that they didn't have a consensus or unanimous decision?
Well, for example, like if we hear, Balabhadra Prabhu is going to die in 7 days. Okay. Well, somebody might say, well, hey, let's check it out. I got the money here. I just called up. And if you get to the airport within like half an hour, we can get you through to the flight tonight from Montreal, and you can be in Delhi by tomorrow, and you can be in Vrindavan within like 2 days. So somebody may say that, okay, yeah, just push it all and just get on the airplane and get to Vrindavan and just die in Vrindavan. Somebody else would say, but yeah, it's terrible association, these kind of people, this and that, on the airplane, everything else. Better just stay here and we have 24-hour care time. And somebody else might say, well, yeah, but let's better maybe just reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting. If somebody else is not advanced, they say, well, you should just maybe engage in yoga. Do some yoga asanas and start, chanting and fasting and do a green tea fast like that. And I know Christian people who they emphasize exactly the same thing. that you should hear the Bible and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's my comprehension of it's like that even amongst devotees, we have different ideas about. But it says according to the mood. And if somebody may want to just hear about Ram Lila, you know, so, I heard Bhakti Siddhanta was wanted to hear just hear the discussions of Ramananda Roy and left his body. And Madhavan Puri again was just swerving the idea of Dayarda, not the head. So even amongst devotees, the different moods. And beyond that, different people have different ideas of what's going to happen. And of course, the gross karmi, their idea is, well, just you know, enjoy sense gratification. You know, just max your credit card out. No one's going to be able to get you. So just get a credit limit increase and have a good time.
Thanks for the ideas.
Yeah. It's okay.
Very good. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, could you say something about Socrates that we missed?
Yeah, because see, with NEOS, our organization, we're having regular programs we're developing, and it's coming along pretty well. And now it's becoming coordinated with South America, and we're trying to penetrate, you know, here in Tennessee, okay, let's, instead of traveling all over the surface, let's try and dig in. And it's been hard, you know, other organizations too. But finally, we're actually getting some response from scholars and people, and they're sincere, but it's just that what we're presenting is so high, you know, like that. You know? So, this year our symposium, the idea is the Phaedo, which is the last dialogue of Socrates, and probably like Socrates, like that. Yeah. And so the thing is how to live, how to die. And we're just presenting people like from different traditions, Christians, Jews, people, classical scholars. And we're getting a good response that people really, basically it's this thing, yeah, this you have to talk about this. Harry Potter, you know, Lord of the Rings, they don't deal with this, you know. And this is a really important point, you know. So then that's where different papers are coming in on the because Socrates in the Phaedo, he argues that the soul is immortal and therefore I should just do my duty and act properly, you know, to the end. And the subtle point is that he's using it as an excuse to commit suicide. And the same way Mars Parikshit, as far as I know, this is the point. Why did he decide that this was Krishna's arrangement? Like that. Yeah? Why did he decide this? Yeah? So not mentioned, you know, but so, because he's a young man. You would think, oh, Pop, Krishna, help me. This boy has cursed me. It's going to happen. Give me a hand here so I can do my service naturally for my whole life and leave my body naturally. But somehow or other, he decided it was Krishna's arrangement. And Socrates' point is every scholar, every philosopher, you give him half a chance, he's ready to quit his body. Now, no reason for lamentation. Can you still hear me? It's okay.
I can hear you fine, my
brother. All right, yes. Please, continue.
The walls are satisfied. Yeah. Socrates, it's a give him half a chance, he took it. You know, you give Maharaj Pariksit half a chance, he took it. You know, like that. You know, maybe Prabhupada too. But Prabhupada, maybe he could have stayed on like that. But he thought, oh my God, these guys are pretty much together. Let me get out of here and let them you know, take care of themselves and learn how to do it the right way. You know, so that's one point we bring out that Socrates and Mark Bricker, they made this choice to get out. And beyond that, our paper is focusing on the fact that because the arguments are good, the arguments are very interesting. Prabhupada uses the same arguments, you know, but our point is that we need heroes like this. That for a long time in the Christian tradition, our tradition in the West, this hero was Jesus Christ. And he was everybody was like, you know, the imitation. The biggest selling book after the Bible, Christian book, does anybody know what it is? What is the biggest selling Christian book after the Bible?
You got me.
It's a book called Imitation of Christ. It's about like maybe 300 years ago. And it's a nice book as a devotee. It's kind of like a sadhana manual type thing about how to live in a spiritual community. you know, and very nice points. You know? So anyway, that was Jesus Christ. He was the hero, and people would think about him and try and be like him and try and imitate the saints. And that, but we need this comment is that many people in the world are commenting that we've lost this, and so we need to revive this positive heroes. And I quote from Carl Jung, and Carl Jung is quoting, it's very interesting, it's called the Tavistock Lectures. Very interesting to read. He's a devotee, probably like him. Tavis, T-A-V-I-S-T-O-C-K. And very nice. So he says that he went to Germany, and he said that, you know, there's something happening below the level of the rational mind. He said these things, incest, all this stuff. He said, this is the rational mind, you know, mental speculation. But he said that these primordial images are moving. And he said, even when I was there, I was becoming intoxicated by this Nazi, you know, vision of heroic ideals. You know? So that we have to get to this level of, you know, of understanding of preaching about an infallible hero who never fails, you know, and who possesses these good qualities. And we have to get that image out, and however we do it, by the way we dress, by the way we walk. This Mormon guy, we had a nice dialogue with him about 2 weeks ago. He's in charge of the Mormon Center, education, it's called the University Center in Boise. And of course, we said hello, this and that. We went there with a couple more devotees, Radhika. But very quick, we get our rapport. We can see, you know, by our comportment, by his comportment, by our words, that we were in the same game and we weren't envious. So he really started opening up and all their trade secrets and telling them our trade secrets. And he said, door-to-door preaching is the least effective means, you know, for preaching and making numbers. He said, only do that when nothing else is available. Yeah. The best thing is for people who know people to have them meet a preacher and get some organized program like that. Yeah. And so, Sankirtan. Yeah. But this very good perception of the same thing. And it's kind of everybody's agreeing that we've got to get, it's your comportment, your nature, your character. It's the image you present, really. And then naturally people then ask for the rational things. You know, what do you do? What do you like that? You know? So we have to be Krishna conscious. We have to dress that way. We have to act that way and talk that way. And then people will start to get to the image. Who's your hero? You know, oh, this football star, that football star, you know. No, it's people, in the end, that's what people want to know. Who's your hero? Like that, you know. Who do you love? You know? So that's what kind of the paper we did in the paper like that. You know?
That's very nice, Varish. Thank you very much. It would have been a shame if we missed that.
Yeah. It's available. So anyway, you know, our program is going to be, everybody's invited when they come to Tennessee. The Gujarati community is giving five-star hotel accommodations, four-star hotel accommodations. If you got. So we're doing it every year. It's such a nice program. Actually, it's becoming kind of a regional thing. Stacia is probably going to come also.
Maharaj, you mentioned that Sadducees believe that the soul was immortal, and it sounds like that was pretty much in contradiction to the conventional beliefs about life. If that's so, then just out of curiosity, what was the conventional belief of life if Socrates believed that the soul was eternal? But what was the conventional belief about the soul in those days?
Because you can read, for example, in the Britannica, there's an article, I think it's on Socrates, and the Phaedo is mentioned in there. It's not a separate article. It's interesting to read it, but I think it's true because it's also an online encyclopedia from Stanford Online Encyclopedia of Philosophy. And one of those two has a biography, and it says Socrates was ugly. It said he was not like, you know, handsome ugly. He was ugly like that. His nose was either pushed up or pushed down, one of the two, they can't figure out which. But either he looked like a pig or he looked like something. And the Dhamma, he had big bulging eyeballs that allowed him to look backwards almost, you know. And he would sleep in his clothes, you know. And he would get up, put them on, and go walking around the marketplace. And he didn't go to the proper bathhouse, you know, the socially correct bathhouse to be in with the right crowd. But he was absorbed in Krishna Katha. He would stop people in the marketplace, everybody. So the predominating idea, pretty much, was that philosophy meant to develop logical skills and abilities to defeat your enemies in argument, you know, to control your parents so you could get control of the family, the money. And I think these were called the comic philosophies. And their thing was philosophy meant to develop pragmatic, logical skills and abilities to live well in this world. Yeah. The hedonists, of course, their idea was, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And when you die, it's all finished. So the idea of the gods and the demigods was there, you know, but it wasn't all that clear. That's my general perception of the thing. So Socrates was really, like Buddha, he was really preaching, forget all these formalities and everything else. The real thing is to really inquire about this question of death and take care of that problem. You know? Don't just keep it in the background. You know?
Well, Maharaj, thank you very much for your association and your tolerance and patience.
What I'll do next time is I'll keep you checking every couple of minutes to see if somebody's there. Also, with WebEx, what we were doing, we had a chief guest. We had the speaker, the chief guest, and everybody else muted. And then the chief guest was the guy who would, like, say, hey, you've gone offline or something like that. You know? In the following week, our chief guest becomes our speaker. So we got continuity like that. You know? Yeah. But it's, anyway. Somehow it is. It's so nice getting an association, whether it's like it has faults or doesn't have faults. First canto there says that. Even with so many faults, my God.
Actually, the platform that we've been using, Start Meeting, has been really stable for us. However, it is difficult for people to figure out. And, I mean, it has crashed a couple of times. I don't know. Maybe I want to consider something else. I'm always anxious because I just put all the devotees through this last 2 or 3 months, you know, changing over. So sure, we don't want to change
for
again.
For me, how to use it's no problem. It's almost identical with WebEx. But I just don't know what it is because this time we experimented. We didn't pass it or anything. But basically, as soon as I clicked on it, it like crashed, you know. So maybe again, we'll maybe try and figure out, because I'm also, what I'm doing now, I'm not using a Wi-Fi like before when it was crashing. Now I got a cable, I got a Comcast cable in the eyes. So we're directly on a Comcast cable now. Anyway, I think go ahead with it, you know, because you think as you learn, with the PowerPoint shows and stuff like that, and if you can record the meetings. Next Friday, we'll be traveling. So maybe we have discussed, and maybe if we can present next Thursday or something, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll be in contact with you, Maharaj, if you're communicating with Macha.
Okay, right. So please accept our obeisances. All glories to the Prabhupada.
Jai. All glories to the Prabhupada.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.